Good morning. It is a great blessing to be with you this Sunday, to be with you again. This Sunday it was a wonderful ministry to my own heart to be able to be with all of you last Sunday and then to be able to come back again. It's just a great blessing, and it's a ministry to my own soul to be with you. It's a ministry to my own walk with God, to fellowship with you, to worship God together with you, and to learn from His Word together. I wanted just, if you will allow me, to very briefly review what just the main outline of what we talked about last Sunday. This was a story from the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And what I would like for you to remember as we look at the passage we're going to look at today out of John 1, I just would like you to remember the story of Matthew and Matthew's calling by Jesus. And I'd just like you to remember that what the Gospel of Matthew tells us in Matthew 9 is that Jesus saw Matthew. He saw Matthew. He did not just see Matthew physically, as we all are so accustomed to doing, but he saw Matthew's heart. He saw Matthew's state. He saw a man hated by his own people. He saw a man who really was invisible to them because he was hated by them. And we saw also in the story out of Matthew chapter 9, just by way of reminder, that on that day that Jesus came to him, Matthew, we're told, was sitting at the tax collector's booth. He was just sitting doing his job. So he was sitting and not necessarily seeking. There were many people on that day who were seeking, and you could tell who they were because wherever Jesus went, they went with him and they went after him. But Matthew was sitting, not seeking. And you might think then that he is not interested in Jesus of Nazareth. But Jesus sees something inside of Matthew. And even though Matthew is just sitting there doing his job, collecting taxes for the Roman emperor from his own people, that's why they hated him, even though he's just sitting there, there is a world of emptiness and loneliness inside of him. And there's a world of hopelessness inside of him. And in two words, Jesus changes his life. And Jesus speaks to that world of loneliness and of rejection and of hopelessness in Matthew's heart in two words. And do you remember what those words are? Those words are, "Follow me." And when Jesus says those words to Matthew, Matthew, we're told, gets up and he leaves everything and he follows Jesus. Because those two words from the Son of God to this sinner are words of mercy and grace to this man who is hated and rejected. That's why he gets up and leaves his, what we know to be a lucrative career, to follow Jesus. And so, again, in the story in the Gospel of Matthew that we looked at last Sunday, in this story is the heart of the gospel and the heart of what it means to be a Christian. And we took time to look at this story because I feel that at times of transition and challenge, Japanese Christian community of Tucson is going through a time of challenge, and you and your fellow citizens of Tucson have gone through so much in this last year. And so I shared with you my own conviction that at those times it is good. I think God pushes us because the ground is unstable beneath us. The things that give us security or that we're familiar with are taken out from under us. And in those times of challenge and change and transition, it's good, I think, in the purposes of God. He brings us to really think about the basic things then of life, what it is that life itself is all about, why I am here. And so in this story in the Gospel of Matthew we saw last Sunday, we're reminded of what it really means to be a Christian. What it means is the voice of Jesus. And please, brothers and sisters, do not forget that in your life as a Christian, or if you are here this morning as somebody who is seeking to know God, please never forget that Christianity, this ancient religion, is always about hearing the voice of the Son of God to you, to your life, to that world that lies within your own heart that maybe nobody else knows. But it is the voice of Jesus, the eyes of Jesus, the sight of Jesus. Because again, when Jesus saw Matthew, he didn't just see a man who was 5'6". People back then were much shorter, and he saw who Matthew really was. The eyes of Jesus and the person of Jesus saying to you and to me, saying, follow me. And in this story out of Matthew 9, we see the heart of what it means to be a Christian in the question that the Jewish religious leaders ask Jesus' disciples: why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Remember that question, because that too is the heart of the gospel. The fact that Jesus is here on this earth seeking out fellowship with sinners, the Son of God. And again, what it means to be a Christian, it is the mercy of God in Jesus. Now today I'd like to have us look at another story which really complements the story in Matthew 9 last week. And it's a story out of the Gospel of John. And thank you, Aika and Naomi, for reading the scripture passage for us this morning. Out of John chapter 1, verses 35 through 50. And I believe in your worship bulletin today is the sermon text. So if you don't have your Bible, if you could just take that out. Because, and even if you have a pen or a pencil, you could take your pen or pencil out, because I'd like you to just note some things about this text. This story in John chapter 1 is the story of what happens on two consecutive days early on in Jesus' ministry. So the first thing I just want you to realize, or realize again, is that when you enter the world of the Gospel of John, you're entering a very, very different world than the Gospel of Matthew. And you can see this right at the start of the Gospel, when you look at the start of the Gospel of John and when you look at the start of the Gospel of Matthew. You know, the Gospel of John, if you have your Bibles, it has those starts with those famous and profound and mysterious words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if you look at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, how does Matthew start? Matthew starts with a long genealogy, which is just also a mystery to us. But even there in the opening verses of Matthew and John, you see that when we come into the Gospel of John, we're entering a very different world. But if you are here as a seeker today, or if you are here as someone who has walked with Jesus for many years, I would say, and I would say for myself and my own walk, that the Gospel of John is a wonderful place to begin in understanding what Christianity is all about and who this man Jesus is. So this is John, out of John chapter 1 and verses 35 through 50. The story that we looked at last Sunday in the Gospel of Matthew is the story of an individual who follows Jesus. The story that we're going to look at today is also a story of individuals who follow Jesus. But this story is so powerful because it is also the story of people following Jesus together and of helping others to follow him. Let's see here. And so I'd like to just have you take a look at this text together with me. And again, we've already heard the overall passage. This is the story of Jesus' encounter with a number of individuals and what happens in their lives. And as with Matthew, their lives are completely changed by their encounter with Jesus. And so let's look first of all at verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And I'm going to just stop right there and say that this story begins with a mention of John the Baptist. John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, we actually already have met earlier in chapter 1. And John the Baptist is already out in the desert doing his ministry of getting people ready for the coming of the Messiah. And we're told earlier in this gospel, a few verses earlier, that the day before, John saw Jesus of Nazareth. And when he saw Jesus of Nazareth, he said, "Look," or in the older English translations, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And so this story here picks up the next day, and this is in the region of Bethany. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus, so he sees Jesus again, passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." One thing I want you to do is I want you to, if you have a pen or pencil, I want you on the text here, just to underline, just as we did last Sunday, just to underline the words in verse 36, "He saw Jesus." And I want you just to notice throughout how many times in this brief passage the word "saw" or "see" or "look" is mentioned. So this story, I just want you to remember, and really your life and your life together as a congregation is all about, what do you see? Who do you see? And especially, what do you see in Jesus? So when John the Baptist sees Jesus passing by, he says, just like he said the day before, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when he says that, remember that when he says "Lamb of God," what he means is that this man, Jesus, that you see before you, he is the fulfillment of the prophets and the Old Testament's promise that one day God would send someone who would be the perfect sacrifice for their sins. The Lamb of God, again, as John said the day before, who takes away the sins of the world. Something that I just would want you to note here is the pure and profound enthusiasm of John the Baptist. I'm not sure who in your life you get excited about. You know, I come from Los Angeles, and there are many movie stars, famous people in Los Angeles. I know Tucson has them too, but Los Angeles might have more of them. And I have actually seen, and myself maybe, at least in my heart, been a part of, you know, a scene where some movie star is out in the public and someone notices who it is and points, you know, and hits their friend and says, "There's so-and-so. There's so-and-so." One day, my wife and our two young sons were having coffee at a coffee shop in Santa Monica. And we sat down at the table in the outdoor patio and we're just enjoying our coffee, but we notice people looking. You know, we know they're not looking at us, so we kind of turn around, and right at the table behind us, and you all know her, and you maybe know her now even better now because of the events of the last couple of months, was Maria Shriver, the wife of the governor of California. And so it's a very interesting thing because people see her. You can't believe that you're sitting so close to somebody so famous, so you're asking yourself, is that really her and everybody else? But you realize that is her. And you're pointing out to your children, you know, as kind of hidden as possible, "Boys, that's Maria Shriver." I don't know who you get excited about. But I only ask you to see the pure and profound enthusiasm of John the Baptist when he sees Jesus. And he points to him. And he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And I just encourage you to think about yourself having that kind of pure and profound enthusiasm for those in your life, for those you go to school with, those you work with, and here in the fellowship of this church, that you would point to Jesus with such enthusiasm and say, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We're told in verse 37, and this reminds us now of Matthew, that when the two disciples heard John the Baptist say this, these are disciples, by the way, not quite yet of Jesus, but they are disciples of John the Baptist. They're following John. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. And if you have a pen or a pencil, just underline those words. They followed Jesus. Because at core, when you want to remember, when you want to return to what your calling is as a Christian here in the city of Tucson, here as part of the Japanese Christian community of Tucson, it is at core about following Jesus, following the Lamb of God. And they follow Jesus for the same reason that Matthew follows Jesus. Because in Jesus, they see and they experience the mercy of God. Now, I want to just drop down to verse 43. We're going to come back up to a couple verses in the first section, but I want to just drop down to verse 43, continuing this theme of what stands at the heart of the Christian faith, and what stands at the beginning of a person's life as a child of God. Verse 43 says, the next day, so we have two consecutive days here where these people's lives are being changed. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. The same words that he said to Matthew, and the same words that we know from the Gospels that he said to other men. We see then from what follows that Philip did follow Jesus. He did follow Jesus. And so the two words that changed Matthew's life, that became Matthew's life, now changed Philip's life. But this is what I especially want you to see this morning. That when Jesus says the words to Philip, follow me, something else happens. Look at verse 44. Immediately following finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. We learn a little bit about Philip, but then I want you to see verse 45. Verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. This is what I want you to see, that in really a very short span of time, Jesus says to one man, follow me. And in the next verse, you know, really in the next moment, that man is saying to his friend, come, come with me. Because we have found the one. So do you see what happens here? Philip is called by Jesus, and in a heartbeat, his heart full of the mercy of God, calls his friend to also come near to Jesus. I want you also to see again verse 36, because this is what happens. John the Baptist sees Jesus, doesn't he? And then what does he do? He immediately points others to Jesus. When he saw Jesus passing by, verse 36 said, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And then look at verse 41 in your passage. One of the two disciples of John the Baptist who, when he hears John the Baptist say, "Look, the Lamb of God," he follows Jesus. One of those two men was a man named Andrew. And what we're told is that after a very brief time spent with Jesus, and that's a very interesting thing that we could study some other time. After a very brief time that Andrew and the other disciples spent with Jesus, verse 41 tells us the first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him, it says in verse 41, at verse 42, and he, meaning Andrew, brought Simon. Do you know who Simon is? Do you know who Simon is? If you read down just a little bit in the story, we find out that Simon is Peter, who becomes one of the great failures among the followers of Jesus, and then becomes one of the great apostles for Jesus. That's how he meets Jesus. His brother follows Jesus, and then Andrew brings Simon Peter to Jesus. In now going back to Philip and his friend Nathanael, his invitation to Nathanael is, "Come, and I want you to see and meet Jesus." And in verse 46, we read that Nathanael has a question. Jesus of Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Some people may see this as a hostile question, as a kind of scornful question. Other people see almost an innocent question. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? And I am so struck by what Philip says next to Nathanael. He says, come and see. I don't have the blessing of knowing all of you. I am blessed to be with you, and I hope to be able to get to know you better. But I don't know your life story. I don't know how many of you have walked with Jesus, have heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Follow me," many years ago, and have been walking with Jesus. Or how many of you just recently heard the voice of Jesus. Or how many of you are seeking. The thing that I'd want you to see just in the story from Matthew 9 and the story that we're looking at today is that people are different. How they come to know and follow Jesus, it's different. Philip and Matthew, they hear those words, "Follow me," from Jesus, boom! But you and I, and you may be one of these people, which is so good. You and I know people, or you may be one of these people who, can anything good come from Nazareth? and yet you have someone in your life who has invited you, come and see, explore, take time to discover. For some, coming to faith in Jesus is a process, a long process of exploration and discovery. And for others, and even for some of you, it is a much more immediate thing. Before I came down to Tucson last Sunday, I had the blessing of spending a little bit of time with Rio and Reiko Yoshitani. And many of you know Rio and Reiko. And Reiko was sharing that they had just about a month and a half ago, they had been in Japan. And so when they were in Japan, Reiko had time to spend with a young woman who is now a pastor in Japan. And that young woman took Rio and Reiko up to Tohoku region to see the devastation. And her church that she's now an associate pastor of is very involved in relief work and in the great work of bringing the hope of Jesus to that whole area. And some of you may know her name, and I'm sorry, I can't. But the story that Reiko told me is very remarkable. Reiko said that here in Tucson, she met this young woman on one day, and she spent 2 hours with her. Do you know who I'm talking about? Is that Mio?
Mia.
Okay, I'm sorry. And she spent 2 hours with her. This is a young woman, no church experience, spends 2 hours with her. She came, I believe, to church once, or to a Bible study maybe once. In that little time, this young woman gave her heart to Jesus. She heard the voice of Jesus. She was due to head back to Japan, but they managed to change her flight schedule so that she could go to Shuyokai, the annual holiness conference, Japanese-speaking summer retreat. Changed her schedule. She goes to Shuyokai, and there she is baptized. And from there, she returns to Japan. When she returns to Japan, she enters seminary. And she becomes what she is today, a pastor. So we will see, and we will be privileged to know, and I'm encouraging you, that you can be a part of that kind of sudden transformation. You know, Matthew, Philip, follow me, and boom, leave everything behind. And your life is forever different. You can be part of that kind of transformation in a person's life. At the same time, that kind of immediate and dramatic transformation, at the same time, you can also be part of God's transformation in a person's life by inviting them. By inviting them. Come. And see. And maybe they have questions. And you slowly, through perhaps, and maybe especially, through studying the Bible, through taking them to the Word of God, through taking them to the Gospel of John, over time, they come to see that Jesus sees them, that the Son of God sees them and calls them, and they come to faith. So let me just close this morning by just sharing with you that in these two stories, the story from Matthew chapter 9 and the story that we have looked at today in John chapter 1, we see the heart of the Christian faith, and we see the foundation of my life, of your life, and of your life together as a congregation, and it is this: that I hear the voice of Jesus. I hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Follow me." And it is the voice of the one who sees me, even me, in my sinfulness. It is the voice of the one who takes away my sins and the sins of the world. And when I hear his voice saying, "Follow me," I follow him. And then, and this is what we learn, I want you to see in the Gospel of John this morning, and then I am pointing others to him. I am leading others to him. And I am saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." I am saying to my friends, to my co-workers, to fellow students at U of A or wherever you may be in school, I am saying, "Come and see." And then we follow Jesus together. Father in heaven, I just so much appreciate the great gift that it is from you to be able to share this time today and last Sunday with my brothers and sisters of the Japanese Christian community of Tucson. I thank you. It is your gift to me, and your encouragement. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here. I thank you that you know their hearts. And I pray that they would hear and hear again in this time of transition for them as a church, in this time of challenge. I pray that they would hear and hear again the voice of your Son saying to each one of them, "Follow me," and saying to them together as a church body, "Follow me." May they then, in their lives individually and in their life as a church, call out to many others, saying to them, "Behold, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." May they then lead many others to follow Jesus. Thank you, Father, for these brothers and sisters, and I pray for your blessing upon them. We pray together in the name of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.